Welcome to the Club 937 podcast. I'm Jay, the producer, and this week we're sitting down with Wolf in Sheep's Clothing to talk about the Baltimore music scene and to hear the world premiere of a song off their new album.
This is almost like the old 937 days, man. Like, I saw you Saturday, I saw you Sunday, now I got you Monday, virtually, but still, it counts, you know?
Man, you've had me for the last 25 years, bro.
Shush yourself, bro. And today we got Jay back with us from Ohio. Yes. Yay, Ohio.
Jay,
where you with the claps?
In Ohio.
This is why I wish I had the buttons, man. You were supposed to clap right there. That was a perfect time for it.
I'm not going to clap for myself.
It was, but
why am I going to clap?
Anywho, so we're back again for another episode. Wrap it up. That's it.
All right.
I was talking.
All right.
Yeah. So we're here for another episode, gentlemen. And we have, first of all, what day? You drinking anything? You doing anything tonight?
The only thing I have, I know it's played out, but it was in the fridge, is I do have a Raging Bitch IPA from Flying Dog. So it is local. It's a classic. It's what I got in the fridge at the moment. The time change got me all screwed up, man. I don't know what time it is right now, bro. Like, I've been behind all day because of the moving around in the sun or whatever, you know, with the daylight savings.
I mean, I didn't, but whatever.
Do you have a brew?
No, I don't.
Well, it looks like I'm ahead of you then. Here we go. Boom. Someone showed up.
Daylight savings ain't messing nobody up, man. The time is on your phone. It automatically changed. All you had to do was wake up. You know what I'm saying?
Like, I don't know, man. Yesterday, I woke up at 7:30 and it was dark out and I didn't know what to do with that information.
Yeah, resetting the clock ain't nothing, man. It's the vibe. It's like how, you know, you're just not really feeling right because right now it's after 9 o'clock, but it should be after 8 o'clock. So we're, you know, like your internal clock, not your external clock, you know?
And no, on the show tonight.
Whatever. There he is. Thanks, Jay. Appreciate
it. Now that that's out the way, we're going to go ahead. We got three guys of a band that I reached out. They answered the call. So we're going to let them introduce themselves and tell us where they're coming from.
Awesome. David, singer and bassist of Wolf in Sheep's Clothing.
My girl, lead guitar, back and vocals.
And I'm Doug Houston Ludlum. I do the hitty stuff on the drums.
There you go.
The hitty stuff.
Man, don't. You got to. The drummers are the backbone, dude.
Right?
You know, band without the drums, man. You're just singing, dude. You're just singing.
Hold on.
You know what I mean?
Like,
you know,
Tez is gonna laugh. Tez is gonna laugh at me.
Tez is gonna yell at me. So hitty stuff. So
yeah,
for the hitty stuff.
Yeah. Without drums, you just end up being like Ed Sheeran. Who wants that?
Right. Right.
Well,
he's about to beat DJ Ed Sheeran in a minute.
All right, so we know your names, David, Mike, and Doug, right? But
that's Douglas,
tell us more. Like,
that's Douglas.
Douglas, sorry. Douglas.
Douglas is far too pretentious for my tastes.
But really, man, I just started getting into you guys when I heard you're coming on the show. So tell us some more about how you started, where you're from, you know, like who you repping.
So Wolf in Sheep's Clothing from Baltimore. Been doing it with this lineup since like 2019.
Yeah, so I was just looking at that earlier today. Yeah, 2019 is when, or 2018, I think, is when we first started practicing.
Yes, hard rock, alternative rock, grungy stuff. So putting out an album, getting that together, finally finished recording. So just, you know, doing that for now and just seeing where it goes.
Cool. That's cool.
How did you meet?
So I've known Mike since middle school and I used to work with Doug. We kicked our old drummer out of a band after our first show, like live, and reached out to Doug like, hey, you fill in for this next show with us? And he decided to not leave. So we've been doing
still
it
filling
with
in.
Us ever sense, yeah.
I just curled up in the corner and of our practice room, and I just kind of stayed there like a little grandma.
Yeah, we super glued to the seat. Yeah, every now and then we unchain him from the radiator and.
I just kept filling in, and all of a sudden, you know, we started recording stuff together, and you know, here now, and we're super excited about where the band's going. We have some big stuff coming up, and yeah, we're super happy to be able to talk to you. It's awesome to talk to other people in the space here. So yeah, totally jazzed to be here tonight.
Yeah, man, I'm glad we got some more local talent, man. We started this thing for local talent because there's so much here in whatever you want to call it, DMV, state of Maryland, whatever. There's so much talent here that, you know, we just created this way. I mean, we're all musicians. We were all in a band forever ago, the three of us together. And so, you know, playing around so many bands, like, there's so much talent here, man. So, you know, it's just, this is how we, this is our gift back, if you will.
Yeah, it's great. We're first podcast we've done, and first, like, put out there sort of soft release, pre-release of music, and that's great. You guys are the first people to hear it that we're not like, hey, is this good?
Yeah. I mean, to be honest with you, forget if we thought it was good anyway. You know what I'm saying? You believe in it.
It's always nice to get feedback.
Of course. It's good. Of course.
I got to listen to it. It's good.
Well, so all right. So middle school, the fill-in drummer that turns into that turns into the real drummer. That's a classic story, man. What happened with the first drummer you had to fire at the first show?
He showed up blistering drunk, and he got drunk probably 12 o'clock. We didn't play till like 8, so he just broke people's shit. We were doing like a drum share. He broke some stuff, hit on people he shouldn't have hit on, and was like profusely sweating the entire time, and we're just like, this is not working, you know. Got back and we're like, dude, this isn't going to be a
we know a few of those guys too, man.
Yeah,
that was basically me the final show at the Thunderdome.
I think you know what's funny is I was talking to somebody about some advice on some gear, and they asked where I got my start, and I was like, yeah, you know, I was in the Baltimore metal scene from like 05 to like roughly like 05 to 15. And even saying it, I was like, shit, I'm getting old, man. Like, yeah. 05 to 15, I was part of that whole scene in Baltimore. But throughout those years, we saw everything you guys have just said. The drummer showing up, bomb, the fill-in that takes the place. Like, I've literally lived all that too, man. So it's cool that it still exists. And I will say, Baltimore, for heavy music, Baltimore has always, always, always embraced that form of art. Me being a DC kid, even more than DC. DC always had too much status and too much red tape around it to really get in deep. But Baltimore always loved us. So,
We just went to a metal show on Friday. They had like a St. Patrick's Day like metal fest that started at like 6 o'clock on Saturday and went till like midnight.
Yeah.
So we were there for that.
The good old metal fest, man.
What was the venue? What venue was it at?
It was the Depot in Baltimore.
The Depot? Yeah.
On Charles Street. We go there. I mean, that's like a second home. We play there all the time. Greg, they do everything there. So we're always like, hey, we're going to do something, do it there. We did our demo release there with them, filled the whole bar up. So it's
three-piece.
Like what you're saying, the scene in Baltimore, both from the, you know, metal and grunge and thrash scenes and all the way through, you know, the more, you know, punk and ska scenes, they're all very DIY. Get your hands dirty, gather your own shows, call your friends and pull them out to a bar.
That's
one of the reasons that we love Baltimore so much. Just that culture just permeates through everything that Baltimore does. And we're blessed to be able to call it home. And we love playing there all the time.
There's something about Charm City, man, where you know, I know the name is kind of a funny name, but there is a lot to that name, the Charm City. And I think if you look at old cities on the East Coast, if you look at Philadelphia, Boston, Baltimore, of course, maybe even a little bit of Pittsburgh, but that ain't on the coast. But there's a certain old sound that comes out of there that you can't get anywhere else. So you guys are definitely fortunate to be a part of that scene.
Yeah.
And yeah, so now it's the first record. So tell us about the first record, the process and everything else.
So we have some friends in a different band, Professor Goldstein. We go over there, a bunch of sound engineers, musical geniuses, hit them up. We're like, hey, we want to put out a record. Started it in like October-ish. Just finished it up yesterday. Everything's mixed, mastered, good to go. 10-track album scheduled to be released in June. So
how are you going to release? Are you going to do just online only or CDs, or what are you going to do?
We're probably going to do like a limited like CD run. I was joking saying we should put them on floppy disks just to see how that goes. But man, floppy, like they don't make them anymore. So like floppy disks, like for the novelty of it, is really expensive. I just wanted to put a QR code on it because I mean, like, whose car still has like a CD player or anything? So
you could do zip drives, bro. That's like the new floppy disk.
When we did the demo release, we just had like a piece of paper with the QR code. And we're just like, here you go.
Cool.
As of right now, the planned releases are going to be Spotify, SoundCloud. We're going to be on iTunes.
Deezer.
Mike, you know a little bit more about where like DistroKid and all
that stuff. DistroKid. Yeah. It sounds like DistroKid. Welcome to DistroKid world.
Man, technology has made it so easy to be such a like a DIY band. Nowadays, like you can create stuff kind of in a garage, throw it together in a DAC, and just throw it up literally everywhere, and it just disseminates so quickly nowadays. It's so,
thank God, man. That's my favorite part of it, man.
Here. Yeah. Like, it is so easy to be a just pure creative nowadays without having to go through, you know, so many specialists to be able to get people, you know, get your music disseminated. So yeah, no, DistroKid absolutely has been a blessing for us. But that said, I think most people listen through Spotify nowadays.
Have you done a music video yet?
Not yet.
No, not yet.
All right. So some advice, because we did one. and I tried to drop it on DistroKid like I did the music, right? And it's way different. It doesn't hit any of the major players you want to hit. Mm. Like, yeah, video, you gotta think outside DistroKid. I think it's called DistroVid or something like that, like the video section.
Oh, but you got to go native upload with video. You have to.
Basically, yeah. You kind of have to put it on YouTube, put it on iTunes. You got to put it on wherever you want it to go, you know, and go that route with it. Jay is the video expert. Me and Tez are jerks that play music. So so there's a well-rounded vibe.
Well, thank you for the heads up. That's definitely something that we've been thinking about. So we're kind of considering it. So that will definitely be useful coming in the next little bit.
Yeah.
Tez, jerks to show up, huh? You said the jerk to show up.
Jerks to play music. Jerks to play music is what it is.
And play music. Hey, play,
yeah. Hey, okay. Now. Okay. Hey, now. Okay. Hey, either way.
We got street cred.
Sure. 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 Yeah. We've been out here for a long time.
From 05 to 15.
We started, what, De Novo started in like 01?
We first started jamming our senior year of high school. That was 2001.
Yeah, but we weren't good.
Your senior year in high school. I was working at Bennigan's.
Yeah. Tez, I was trying to be kind, all right?
It's all good.
Okay, so we're talking about the old days. So before this band, what was before with you guys?
I mean, me and Mike have been in and out of bands together since like 10th grade. Like, he showed me how to play bass and everything. I mean, I play guitar, but so he's just been doing that. We've been in and out, you know, rotational drummers all through high school. Never, you know, no one really stuck. I think one of them's in prison for like attempted murder now.
What?
Or something.
Okay. It happens, man.
It happens. I mean, it happens. Right? That was a thing. I ended up my first job out of college. I worked with Doug for several months. You know, we kept in touch, and I was like, hey, I know you play drums. Would you be down to do this? And then he's just like, I guess. So.
No, I was jazzed when you all called me. I mean, first playing in this band, I didn't do too much in like a organized band type situation. I did a lot of drumming to like, you know, I was a dumb teenager, so I liked, you know, Paramore and Hawthorne Heights. So I'd just throw those on super loud earbuds and blow out my ears and do drum covers in my basement, and did, you know, church band on Sunday then, and you know, that was a very big big whiplash back and forth. So now being able to, you know, sit and be in this band, I've been able to, you know, hone my craft a lot more. And, you know, this band has been a great way for me to really explore, you know, creative depths that I can do with my hitty thing, as I like to say.
Now, are you more of a pocket drummer?
Just the 80s very thrash. Much so, yeah. I try not to be too flashy with it. It's sometimes, you know, less is more. Your job as the drummer really is fundamentally keep the beat as much as you can and keep
things
moving and keep the energy moving.
Yeah, Tez, less is more, Tez. Yeah, Tez, hear that?
You hear that, Church? Sweatpants?
I'm Douglas now. I'm Team Douglas now, man. Tez is old sweatpants because he's got no pockets, bro. He's all heart, man. All soul, dude.
Now, do some stick flips and nonsense while you're doing it.
No, he don't flip. He doesn't flip.
He doesn't
flip. You draw the line. You got to draw the line somewhere.
He drops.
Yeah, and breaks. Yeah, and breaks.
He drops and breaks.
I think everyone drops their sticks now and then. I think it was a joke running for Wolf and Sheep's Clothing that every time during a practice, I would at least lose my drumstick once or twice during the practice. And just, it would be a 50-50 shot whether I was throwing to the right towards Dave or towards the left, towards Mike, and they just feel a drumstick in the back of their head. They were joking about giving me those fancy gloves that the NFL players use to keep the sticks in my hand.
No gloves, man. Just drop them, man. You'll be fine, dude. You don't need no gloves, man.
I think Dave Grohl wears gloves when he drums now.
Does he? I know he did.
He does.
I know he did.
He did for a while, yeah.
Yeah.
It's so funny, man. Like, you guys were telling me your story about going through a rotation of drummers, and you found Doug and now you got your thing. Like, that's a very Nirvana story. Nirvana did the same thing when they were starting out, when they found Dave. And I read Dave's book and he's got this great story about when Nirvana played Saturday Night Live the first time, like the Smells Like Teen Spirit days, whatever. He was like super nervous. It was his favorite show. Oh my God, the B-52s played here and whatever. And they went into Smells Like Teen Spirit and he did his, you know, the do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And he dropped a stick on Saturday Night Live for Smells Like Teen Spirit. And it was like the worst moment of his life, you know, like he was like ending. And he like got another stick and like, you know, he banged it. Like, it's all good. Yeah. But the stick drops can even happen to the greats, man. So don't worry about it. Keep dropping them.
It does.
Douglas.
All of his stuff was like disco beats anyway. So it's cool. Yeah. It's cool. All of it are disco beats.
It was easy to get back on though, right? Could you just grab a stick and keep going? Like nothing ever happened.
Yeah.
A spare stick out of his taped Bionicle cup, and
I never had the money to get like one of those nice like stick holder cups or clamp cups or whatever, or the thing that goes around the floor tom. My solution towards my stick dropping propensity was I got this Bionicle cup or like this container that the Bionicle came in, and I just taped it to the side of
Bionicle's like Legos?
Yeah, like the Lego toy, and I it was the silver one. I don't even know what the fucking name was. And
I mean, I'm gonna save
sticks in there, threw my phone in there, so I had my set list. It worked out great.
That one's for you, Douglas.
You get the official DIY salute.
For real, I mean, the more duct tape and the more just nonsense within all of the equipment in the band, I feel like the better the band is. The more put together it is, I feel like it loses that je ne sais quoi that makes up just real nice grunge.
I think in your kick right now, there's like a sleeping bag or something to muffle it.
Yeah, that's my muffler.
It's
a sleeping bag that we have. Around.
Yeah, that's a thing for sure.
Or instead of you guys showing up and making it look like you got it all together, show up to a show and look completely disheveled, like you have no idea what's going on. Because when you touch the stage,
we don't have to pretend.
Keep guessing.
I'm telling you, when you hit the stage and
like
people,
the last show we played, he's like, last Friday it was raining, it was messy. They had load in time from 5 to 4 day of, they upped it. And we're like, okay, we'll be there. So then we're sitting on stage past load in time, and he's like putting on new heads to all of the...
I hadn't changed my drum heads in, I don't know, maybe over a year with, you know, weekly practices and regular shows. Like, they were totally blown out. Like, I was rushing up from Montgomery County up into Towson after they had moved the load-in time up an hour. So, yeah, I was up on stage. And, of course, my drum set was the one that we were sharing between all the bands. So, like, it wasn't, like, a thing that would just affect me.
You had to be legit. Yeah.
And you know what? Every single one of the drummers for every one of the bands took a drum and started throwing on heads with their drum keys. I mean, it's such a great community in Baltimore.
Cool.
Everyone just loves helping each other and wants to see everyone succeed. It's such a great
community.
Just like what
we were talking
about.
You hold on to that.
Okay.
Because when I tell you nobody wanted me to touch their shit. I'm not lying to you.
We played some show before. We were at Sidebar, and someone like the chair drum set, the first band playing, their freaking kick like just blew the head right out of it. And they had to like run, they grabbed the floor tom, turned it sideways, like bricked it down, and we're using a floor tom as the bass kick. And just
for Sidebar, it worked. That totally works for Sidebar, mm-hmm. man. Like I know that place. We played that place a couple times.
We did.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly
with drummers, the
together.
Unspoken agreement is you break it, you buy it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, for sure. It goes without saying. So, you know, if in the times when we had the equipment share and these dudes would like literally wouldn't want me to touch their drums. And I'm like, I don't know. What do you think? I'm going to eat it? Like, what do you think is going to happen?
But yes, have you seen how hard you hit the drum?
You almost ate him, man.
You know what I mean? But it was more of the feel. I was feeling
That's
it.
That's why you had to bring
saying?
Your own drum set over to my mom's house when we first started practicing, because Brett didn't want you playing on his drums anymore. Yeah. Every time he sat down, all of his drum heads were just sagging.
all I'm thinking about is that scene from Step Brothers. Like, did you touch my drum set?
Yeah.
Did you touch it?
That's exactly what it was. Funny thing is, it was actually my stepbrother.
Yes, it was his stepbrother. Yeah, it was your stepbrother. Yeah, totally.
John cool. Bonham playing Moby Dick for real.
Hey, I have a three-piece question because right now, me and Tez, we're also playing in a three-piece, but we've been in four-piece and five-piece bands in the past. How do you guys feel about the piece connection, you know? Like your tone, like how do you guys set your amps to get that full sound, and like how do you guys bounce off the three piece is a very special place. So you guys are in that now. So tell me about the three piece.
Turn the guitar off as loud as possible.
I mean, doing songwriting, I was always like, I learned how to play guitar listening to Nirvana, so I'm used to like three. We've had like tryout people or whatever, or subbed in for bands with four people, and we're just like, I don't know what to do with, like, I don't want to lead guitar. Like, I mean, if we had like a full bassist or something and I was doing rhythm, I could like stop parts, but I'm just like, I don't need like nice little overlaying fills, because Mike can do that, or I just turn up my amp with a lot of bass. And like compressors and weird little effects that I like to throw on, and then we just go with it. So the grunge-ness is the easiest way that I have found, put something together, and then Doug will fill in everything else that's needed to sort of round out a nice, you know, nice sound piece.
Yeah, cool. we were talking about it the other week, you know, kind of like articulating what our workflow kind of looked like. And it was very much, you know, Dave would, you know, find a little hook or a little melody or some kind of ditty and kind of write something out, and Mike is really powerhouse as far as like fleshing out those ideas in different parts for our song. He makes really, really good harmonies and really can flesh out and give a lot of character and bones to sort of the ideas that Dave puts out. I kind of come in at the end and use my, you know, little hitty thing and do the editing process at the end of putting together together like the parts that Mike kind of made or based off of the motif started and kind of put it together in the energy flow move. So it's very much a initiation of ideas, and Dave also does basically all of our lyrics. So initiation of idea, fleshing out into full distinct pieces, and then putting it all together. It really works really well with the three people. And there's not a whole lot of ego going back and forth between us. It's so nice having that kind of small group where everybody knows where all of our strengths are at and really try to contribute towards the whole just with what we're strong at. It really is a magical thing.
Dude, being in a three piece, it's like you're actually on each other's side. Like if you go four piece or five piece, everyone's arguing with each other all of the time, pretty much. You know, it's just how it works. You get alliances and cliques and, you know, all this drama and politics happen. But when it's a three piece, man, that triangle, that's an awesome thing.
I don't
thing,
like standalone singers either. Like I don't like the idea of being a standalone singer. Like I want to do something to show that my worth, because it's always that like, well, the singer's not going to help unload your gear. Like,
right.
Well, I have my own gear that's going to unload. So,
but you play bass, you know, so you're all right.
You're hitting the 80-pound rumble. Yeah.
I carried cabs up the steps of the Velvet Lounge with a torn rotator cuff. God damn it! I broke down drums.
Oh, no.
Important question. Have you guys had your first band disagreement yet?
Oh, plenty.
On some songs, and then they just get scrapped. Yeah. Like, they're not going wrong. I just scrap a song, and maybe we'll come back to it. But it's not worth the headache if it's not, you know, not working in the moment. We always have, like, even though we finished a 10-song album, we're still, what, 3-4 songs in, like, new as we've been going. So it's always, revolving door is always going.
That's the purpose, man.
Yeah, exactly.
The disagreements definitely in a three piece can very quickly be resolved. I think that's the nice thing about it. Three votes, you know, two
exactly
get to a quick majority,
exactly. Yeah.
But we are, I think, in addition to each other, you know, being professional musicians or acting professionally at least, we're also friends. We try to make sure that each of our voices are incorporated really well. You know, this is definitely one of the best groups that I have ever been a part of. Doesn't matter whether it's music or professional or any other way, just being able to have equal footing, the single product that we end up putting out in our music, it really helps make sure that we all remember that we're aligned towards the same thing. So that really helps make sure that the disagreements stay, you know, artistic and stay towards making sure we're always putting out the best song and sound.
Well, one thing I can't say is get to brotherhood. You got to go past friends. Get to brotherhood. It's because, you know, the disagreements in the band, they're going to come, you know, not want to play the same song or whatever. But it also teaches you how to deal with other situations that will come as being in a band. Like, there's going to be points where you guys get intertwined in each other's lives, you know what I mean? And as a friend, as a brother, I should be able to tell you about that move I don't think you should be making, or you should move left, you moving too much right, I think you should go a little, you know what I mean? And you still have to, you know, on top of that, then there's the music, and because you have that tightness, the music, it makes it that much better, that much easier. Those little things that you don't agree on, just, man, whatever. Like, we almost fought the other day, man. Forget that. You know what I mean? Like, it's important. So I say definitely push it past friends, man. Brotherhood. The plan is to be so, you know, go with this so long, like tours and being on a bus and all that kind of stuff. Like, you want to go forever with this. You can't go forever with this with just friends.
But like, isn't it weird that, like, if a dude in your band tells you something, you, like, really pay attention to it and, like, really take it to heart? You're like, oh, shit, you know? Whereas, like, if you're, like... like, if your kid tells you something, you're like, man, pop off, dude. Like, you know, like, whatever. But this, you know, like, your coworker says something, you're like, man, like, you don't even know, man. You
don't even
know where I'm
at. I don't need this job. I'll just leave.
Yeah, like, fuck this job, you know? But if you're, but if you're like, if your guy and your, if your buddy in your band says it, you're like, oh my God, man, like I've really been messing up, you know, like I need to reevaluate whatever.
We,
like
we let me say this right. We are each other's responsibility.
Yeah, for sure.
So
for sure.
No matter what you out here looking like, you know what I'm saying? Dave and Mike said they known each other since high school. So, you know, when people, what did you say, middle school?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So when people there, I'm sure that there are people that know that where there's Dave, there's Mike. Where there's Dave, there's Mike. So, you know, when you out here and one of y'all fuck up, if Dave fucked up, people know Mike hang with Dave. So, you know what I'm saying? People going to be looking at Mike kind of crazy. Yeah, like, hey, what's up with your boy?
I mean,
yeah.
there's promoters we don't work with anymore. Yeah.
Oh, man.
All right, look, we haven't heard much from Jay.
I mean, I feel like I've said a lot. I was mostly making fun of Tess.
Well, I mean, do you have any questions for the band? What you got?
Oh, do I have I did, but I think you guys asked them. So I'm trying to come up with new ones. I'm scrolling through your Facebook page right now. And I just, I don't know, man. I saw the sidebar. Like, I scrolled down. I didn't know they were doing a fundraiser.
Actually, the girl that, I know the girl that Rachel, is trying to sing it. Rachel
from BBC. Rachel bought it. They've gutted it, and there was like asbestos and COVID really put that thing down, unfortunately.
Well, no, dude. That place was put down long before COVID. You know, like
COVID was the official nail in the coffin. They raised, God, like I think they were looking for like 80. They raised like 40 something. We were on some compilation album where like all the proceeds went to it. Like one of our demo songs was put on there. It'd be cool to play there again whenever, you know, everything gets set up. So.
Dude, to have the sidebar around and the records back too in Towson, man, like it's so cool that a couple old venues actually, like, you know, made it down and made it out of that.
Hammer Jacks reopened.
Hammer Jacks part 5.
I could walk to the other one from my
playing
house.
Man, that's booked out way in advance. You guys are playing Sonar Fest in June.
Yeah, we just got confirmed on that. I think we just got the actual thumbs up a couple of weeks ago. So, we're really looking forward to playing Sonar Fest. That's definitely a big step up for us.
I think I saw man. Who's playing it?
There's a whole bunch of local bands, all kinds of genres.
It's a 3-day festival.
Yeah. Right now, like, nothing, like, they haven't given dates of, like, when each person is playing yet. And, like, tickets, I think we can start, like, going on sale. I think they're going through Everbrite, like, next week or the week after that. We'll get, like, an email for that. But, like, this past weekend, they were like, hey, this is good to go. Here's everyone's stuff. Like, your links are good. Just things aren't available yet. So we'll be hitting that running the next 2 weeks.
So you don't have to sell paper tickets no more?
Not this time, no. When we played at Towson, we were supposed to get paper tickets. I had them sent to my office. I was out with COVID, and they got lost in the mail. So everything was like will call. So,
man, that's just like some tickets, man, getting lost. I know, right? That's just like some tickets.
I was like, hey, I never got these, and no one said they ever came. He's like, oh yeah, they got sent back. Like, cool.
So you guys still hit you with playing. The
where you how many tickets you sell is based on where you play in the lineup. Do they still do that?
I think that's the way Sonar is going. That bases the day. But most of the time, no, we've never had like a pay to play or pay, like where you are is based. But I think Sonar is going to be that way. That's my understanding.
Well, they've got you listed. A day ago, I'm on the Sonar Fest Facebook event page right now, and they got you listed playing day 3, June 25th.
I saw Sunday. I'm not sure when that's going to, like, time-wise, because they were like, oh, it's going to be dependent on where you fall or whatever. But they said that there were some bands at the one they did last year, like, they didn't sell any. So
are there any big names, like headliners? Are there any headliners for Sonar Fest?
Nothing immediately stuck out to me, but I don't remember everyone playing. I'll fan.
You see, Jay's the wizard. So Jay, what do you got?
I'm looking, but it's a bunch of logos. So hold on, let me enlarge.
He's going through the mainframe. He's downloading everything into his brain. He has to his brain's exploding.
Like, the biggest one, Jay. The biggest font.
Today.
Oh, Will Sims is playing day 2.
Will Sims.
Interviewed him
For a friend of the pod. Yes. He was your last episode that you just released, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great episode.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some names. names that I definitely like recognize, like Temple Thieves.
Is Jimmy's Chicken Shack on there?
Jimmy's Chicken Shack is not on here.
No,
but Shaq is playing soon. I saw something about them playing a show in, I think it's in D.C. No, it's a State Theater. Remember State Theater, Virginia?
Oh,
Chicken
damn.
Shack is playing State Theater.
I saw that.
There's a couple tribute bands playing.
Yeah, they sound all over the map.
They
got Madhouse, which is a tribute to Ozzy Osbourne. Vicarious, which is a tribute to Tool.
I know Vicarious. I heard of them.
Yeah.
All right. So Sonarfest is coming up.
How do you guys book most of your shows? Like, is it mostly, are you working through promoters, or is it mostly like DIY friends filling friends' bills?
We've worked with Feed the Scene and Rachel when they, you know, she's been preoccupied with the sidebar. We work with them. Towson played at Zen West last week. It was Rapallo Entertainment, who does a bunch of people. Infinite Terror for like when we're doing metal stuff. They're the ones that did the thrash show Friday. So we got us up in PA. Yeah, we're up in PA, DC, all of Baltimore, all that stuff. And sometimes I just reach out to people myself and just like, hey, what you got? Anything and everything. If there are bands looking for people, like, hey, we're coming through, we need someone on the show, like, hey, hit us up, but we can make it work out. You know, we'll be happy to jump on and help you guys out. Or whatever you guys need.
Yeah, I get a Facebook message from Greg Rikus every time he comes down this way saying, hey, we're going to be playing at the Depot. Why don't you all hop onto the show? So we get reach outs. But we also do a fair amount of our own DIY planning. I mean, we did that Sunday matinee show that one time at the Depot. Yep. We've put together our own demo release shows. We've done, house shows out in College Park. It's just about where can we play and when can we play it. It's really just trying to get out there as much as possible making sure we stay within the scene in doing that.
Good, man. Play anywhere, man. Go for it. Anywhere and everywhere.
We will do it.
I dig that.
That's what's up, man.
I was just going to say, there's a name. You guys played, what was it? Was this Zen West?
Yeah, that whole show was very box themed. I mean, we had Letterbox, Pillbox.
We were
the only non-container themed band.
Royal Flush.
Like a deck of cards is also pretty square. It's just
a box.
It counts.
It's a box.
Bordello for squids. I like that.
Oh my gosh.
Well, Jay, can we listen to their track, man? Let's listen to the song.
Yeah, we got a song.
You guys haven't
released this one to the public, right?
This is going to be the actual immediate release. First, putting it out there, full on official release Friday.
The world nice. Premiere.
Let Mike introduce the song, yo.
Yeah. Okay. Introduce the song.
All right. This is Catastrophe. Yeah.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
Short, simple, to the point. Love it. 10 out of 10.
All right. I don't know. All right. Please enjoy it.
Cool.
All right. Here we
Ladies
go.
Ladies and gentlemen. Catastrophe.
From Wolf in Sheep's Clothing.
Joke. Give me an opportunity and take the one you chose so long.
Single release.
Man, every time I hear that song, it's just so much fun. It's just
dude,
so much
I closed my eyes and headbanged the whole time, man. Like it was
so
great.
Good.
It was great.
It is so clean, dude. It is so clean,
and,
man.
And every time that I hear it, I just can't help but smile every time that Mike plays down. Just a beautiful solo every single time. It's just
That's why Mike don't talk much because he
Mike does his talking on the guitar. Barely.
He is. The giant that needs not speak.
Dude, my two notes that I wrote down is I wrote down Scott Pilgrim versus the world because it reminds me of something from Scott Pilgrim versus the world.
That would fit on the soundtrack perfectly, actually.
And then the beginning of it, I wrote down Mudhoney because I am kind of getting like an old grunge, kind of loud grunge vibe, more like less Nirvana Soundgarden, more like Mudhoney and Tad and like all those like kind of grimy Seattle bands, you know. I got that vibe.
And then
the vocals though are they're more screamy than I thought they were gonna be. So you're yelling a lot, and it kind of has a hardcore, like a old like hardcore like Boston or whatever hardcore scene kind of vocal patterns. I'm kind of picking up on the hardcore side too.
I sent a message to the group text and I was like, yo, this song is like the descent. Descendants meets Black Flag, and I am about it.
I completely missed that one.
No,
I know. I said Descendants, and Tez thought I was talking about the Disney Channel.
Descendants. Oh my God, big inspiration.
Like Tez, we have so much today.
I'm a huge fan of like quiet verse, loud full chorus, and building that up and down is always fun. It's like, you know, like DJ Khaled's like, how can he yell his name louder in the next song? It's always like that.
This song was a lot of fun to write and put together. Like a lot of our stuff, it doesn't really like we definitely tend to be very, you know, upfront in your face, power and energy. But this song, we really played around with bringing the energy down and up again, and trying to make the energy really try to pull you into different directions. And just the way that it all together, it was just so much fun to really just kind of let yourself ride the song. It's so much fun for me to play, just because there's so much kind of moving from phrase to phrase. I'm super happy with how it turned out. Dave did a great job with the vocals, Mike obviously with the solos and everything. It's just so much fun to listen to just it bring you to where it needs to go.
That's really cool, man.
Each piece that y'all do complements each other very well. Like neither is overpowering each other. Like you can hear everything clean. You hear the vocals really clean. You hear the drums clean. Real quick, I want to know. I won't even do top five. I want to know the three of y'all's top two bands.
Top twos.
I mean, mine are Beggar at the King Diamond.
Yes. Mike with the delivers, dude.
He don't say much.
Right.
But when he does.
God, dude. Thank you, Mike. Dave.
Definitely Nirvana, obviously. The second one, I've been probably like a day to remember, like inspirationally.
Okay.
My man.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've pulled a lot of my drumming, both from Wage War, which is a sort of a deathcore band, and then I have a strong affinity and propensity to Paramore, who will always be my one true love, of playing in my basement along with Misery Business over and over and over again.
CJ, the
drums on Misery Business.
Jay is a
good.
Huge Paramore guy, you know.
So much fun.
They're good musicians, man.
I loved All We Know Is Falling, and I loved Misery Business, and then they started getting weird, and now they're disco, and I don't know what to do with them. Their latest album, I just couldn't get into it.
Yeah. Well, I heard that, like, most of the band after the Riot album, like, quit and started, like, a Christian rock band. I don't know if that's accurate.
Really?
That's what I remember hearing.
They're just a three-piece now. I think they just have a touring drummer, but like they don't have like an actual full-time drummer anymore.
Yeah, we were talking about this literally yesterday, like setting up to record and everything, and I was just giving like all my random hot takes on like a bunch of music that no one asked for.
No one cares.
Yo, all right, wait, hold on. We're on to something here. Before the lightning round, anyways. Because we got to do lightning round quick. No. He was hot takes. All right, so David.
Yeah.
Your music Mount Rushmore. You pick four faces to put on the mountain. What do you put on the mountain?
Wayne Static, Stevie Nicks, Kurt Cobain, and Freddie Mercury.
Wow.
Ooh.
Jay, hit the button, man. Give him some buttons.
Yeah,
man.
Where's the button? There's the button.
Yeah.
Yo, are you giving that question to Mike?
Good job, dude.
No,
Mike doesn't get that question. No? Okay. Mike's a lightning. He's a lightning round guy. He's a lightning round guy.
I know. I'm going to say, I know whoever Mike was about to say was going to shut this shit all the way down.
No, man. Mike, save it. It'll be for later, all right? Well, you guys want to do lightning round? You ready?
Yes. Hold on.
Wait.
Ladies and gentlemen.
The lightning round.
Prestige. Worldwide.
All right. So here we go. The lightning round is me coming up with some random stuff to ask, and you guys have to answer kind of short and fast. So, Mike, I think we have to talk to Mike. Mike, what was your first concert?
Oh, Green Jello.
Nice.
What was your last concert?
Bar. Yeah.
Wow.
Bar.
Good answer.
Mike's off to a good start, ladies and gentlemen. We may have a contender here. If you were stuck in the zoo overnight, what animals would you sleep with?
The lions.
The lions. Sheesh. Why lions, Mike?
It just feels right.
All right. That was a repeat from the last one, Tez, but I like that one. So I wrote it again. All right. Who's your favorite poet?
Edgar Allan Poe.
Nice.
Baltimore native. Nice. Baltimore native. The best/worst band name. Not both at the same time. Like, what's the best band name ever, and what's the worst band name ever?
Oh, yeah. Megadeth, probably, I think that's the best. The worst, no clue.
And Sinclair.
Like, what name do you hear, Mike? What'd you say? Thank you, Douglas, for the quick return. Appreciate you. All right, cool. Let's go back to Mike. Mike, what was your first band's name?
Steel.
Steel, like the metal?
I was in
Steel.
It.
Steel.
I was in it, yeah.
Okay. Mike, I don't know, man. Douglas.
Yes.
Who is the best rapper alive?
Best rapper alive? I'm going to say Childish Gambino.
Wow.
Good
okay.
one. Okay.
Good ball.
Okay.
All right, back to Mike. What is the best breakfast cereal on the planet?
Reese's Puffs.
Reese's Puffs.
Yes.
I used to eat Reese's Puffs in like the sixth grade, Mike, but whatever, you know. Cheers. I still Reese's Puffs. All right, last one, and this can be for all three of you. All right, you can answer, you know, on your own. What is your top guilty pleasure band?
Oof, Ninja Sex Party.
Great pick. Dog, who you got?
Oh, am I next?
Yeah.
I'll say Tenacious D.
Nice.
Never go wrong.
The Cure.
That's a guilty pleasure band. Yeah.
They're playing Merriweather, but they're playing the same weekend as Sonar Fest.
So it doesn't matter.
You know what? I respect your argument. Oh man.
I saw The Cure once close out HF Festival one year, and it was like, it was the worst idea to close a festival because it's like POD and Linkin Park and like Jay-Z and then like The Cure. And it was like, by the end of the day, we're just like, what the fuck is this? You know, we were so jazzed up on everything else that they didn't have a shot, man. And he just went up there and crooned, cried.
I remember going to Virgin Fest before, and my girlfriend at the time wanted to see Jack Johnson, and on the other stage was the Foo Fighters, and Jack Johnson just stopped and was like, I hope everyone is enjoying the Foo Fighters right now, because he was totally drowned out the whole time.
You could totally see The Cure and play a show in the same weekend.
I think it's the same. Oh, yeah.
That's fine. Look, Tez, I don't remember if you, I think you were there. I know Dan. We were all there. All of us.
System of a Down.
We saw System of a Down at 9:30 Club, and directly afterwards, we drove played up the show. Street and we played a show.
And we brought the crowd with us.
Hey.
Phantasmagoria, wasn't it?
I'm gonna give it a go.
No, it was the Grog and Tankard, man.
Grog and Tankard.
It was like the closest I ever got in my life to like Warriors in real life. Like we got out of the System of a Down show, we're like, everybody, this way, you know? And
follow
like people
me.
Actually went, you know? It was pretty fun. But no, man, you can like The Cure, man. It's okay. But I think that's it for the lightning round, man. I'm pretty sure. Hold on. Let me make sure. Let me double check. You guys have survived the lightning round. Cheers.
Those are fun questions. Very fun questions.
Awesome.
Now we come rounding. What happened, Jay? Did I come in too loud?
What do you mean, what happened?
Oh, no. Your reaction was like, I scared you or something.
No, I was just playing with the volume slider on the cheering thing, because that thing goes on for like 2 minutes.
All right. I want to know where y'all want to be. Where y'all want to be in the next, give it the next 5 years.
2-3 albums in, at least.
Full on tour.
What'd you say, Mike?
Full on tour.
Yeah, let's go.
There you go. Doug?
No, definitely. The I would say 3 albums, at least 4 pieces of merch. That's definitely that's part of our development pipeline at this point. Maybe having a consistent social media upload schedule. I think that's probably next in line for things that we're putting together. This man is so hard.
It sounds like Doug
back
is
to what
talking
I was
about
saying earlier, man. Like real
he's
friends
saying,
are doing
he's
that shit
next
for free.
5 years. Doug's like next week.
Yeah, Doug's talking about right now, dude. Not 5 years. Like that's now, dude.
Well, considering that we've been working on the social media for the past 4, I think it's still a reasonable timeline considering us at this point.
Man.
Y'all plan on staying 3, or you want to add more, or what you want to do?
I don't think that we're really in the, we're not looking for anybody. Though if someone were to come along at that, you know, and find a way to mesh with the band and contribute, I don't think that we're necessarily.
Dude, I do have some advice actually. I had some advice for Mike as a guitar player in a band. Hold on 1 second. You okay? Sorry.
Good night, Zia.
My kid's going to bed.
Good night, Zia.
Good night.
Had to blow the kid. A guitar player in a 3-piece band. What amp do you play out of now? What's your rig?
I've got a Boss guitar going out of a 4x12 Marshall with some
cool
vintage 30s in it.
You got vintage 30s? All right. Vintage 30s that's good. You're good right there. But man, what I did in my 3-piece is, which I'll push to anybody, is get an old bass cap and run your amp through a guitar cab and a bass cab. It's like the old Caius trick that they used to do for playing desert desert shows. So you get that low end, you're gonna have to redial all your shit. But as a three piece, you've got that low end coming out of your guitar side with the bass, with the drums. You'll blow out any five piece band that's playing that night. You will absolutely sound like a monster. Cause it changed me, bro. So like get some old, like beat up Ampeg 4x10 or like a 215 and run it with your guitar. And back up. Like,
that's actually what I'm gonna buy. That's literally what I'm gonna buy. Yeah. An old Ampeg, yeah.
Yeah.
Chris Novoselic like, bass setup. Yeah.
It changed my whole perspective, man. Like I found an old vintage orange bass cab and I already played an orange half stack 100-watt and I lined it up and turned it on and I was like, shit, this is what I've been trying to sound like for years, and poof, you know, had to redial all the pedal board. You gotta change everything afterwards, but it's worth it. So that's some advice from Mike. Three piece to three piece, you know?
Yeah. As a drummer, just kill shit. Yeah. That's it. Just show up and kill shit, bro.
That's all we gotta do.
That's more of the first one for me. Oh man. All right, man. Well, shit. I really appreciate you fellas coming to hang out with us, man.
Thank you so much for having us.
Oh wait. Y'all practice every week?
Anytime you want us back, here for it. Anytime.
Do y'all practice regularly?
We are once a week for the most part. We skip a week here and there, but for the most part, we're once a week.
And just trying to develop
new stuff. Our practice space is a little bit south of Baltimore, but we end up playing all throughout Baltimore up through north, and we're trying to get DC a little bit.
Yeah, I got to come. Cool. I'm in Ellicott City.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah. We'd love to have you come out and hang out sometime.
For sure. I definitely got to come in. After that song, I need to hear what the rest sounds like, man. Like for sure.
We have some good stuff in the pipeline right now, so we'd love to hear your thoughts on it. Try to tighten it up
if you ever
bit,
find yourself in Columbus, Ohio.
Dude, that's the tour
Mike was talking about.
Yeah, man.
It's basically just Bethesda on a river. It's
We stay far away from there.
Yeah,
as long as it's not like Ocean City, beachfront Walmart.
That's fine. Anything that's not that.
All right, man. Well, cool. This is the final. So anything y'all want to drop, next shows, info about the album, this is your time. Let it just take it away.
So we're going to release three singles. Whoever sees this gets the spoiler. First song this coming Friday, next song 420, third song Mother's Day, full album release June 9th. Intermittent shows coming up, Facebook, Instagram, and the Sonar Festival coming up in June.
And we are at Wolf in Sheep's Clothing on Facebook and Instagram and YouTube. So
Whisk_band is the at. So come find us.
Love to
Whisk.
See
Word. Whisk, everybody.
Yeah, we are the Whisk.
WISC_band. Yep.
I love it.
Honestly, we need to get like those little dollar store whisks and put them in a big bowl, throw them out at the beginning of shows. We need to get on that. Dave, can we get on that? Where's the budget for that?
I'll see what our whisk budget is, but I think we can work it out.
Look, Wolf in Sheep's Clothing, you guys are an absolute blast. Thank you for joining us on this show tonight. We wish you all
Hold on.
And we want to help you as much as we can throughout your growth and your future, man. That's my piece.
Because Doug didn't hear. I said it to Dave and Mike earlier that everybody that does the show, we're starting on March 25th. We're starting a showcase at Cricket Crab in Odenton. And everybody that does this show will play your show. So you guys are definitely gonna get booked to come and play
the
show.
They already said they were down, so they're down.
You can put us in a back alley. We're planning on coming just to check it out. We will throw on the loudest amp setting that we can find and wake up the neighborhoods and scare a raccoon.
Send us the details. We'll be there just to support.
I got you, dude. I got you, bro.
That sounds good. I'll be looking for it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, man. I appreciate you boys coming through, man. I appreciate you getting back to me to even want to come and do this with us, man. I appreciate
it. Was a blast. Anytime you want us back, we're here.
Yeah, this is fun.
For sure.
It's nice talking to you guys, and catch you on the flip side.
All right. Dan, last word.
See you at some shows. Check out the music. Thanks for having us.
This is fun. Peace.
Easy. Just Mike. Four words the whole time.
Oh, Mike is the man, dude. Oh, man. Oh, man. Dan, final words?
I already said, all love and support local music, and we will catch you again real soon. We'll be back.
Jay?
Thank you for joining us. Forgot to tell you guys, I found a raccoon in my garage. He said something about scaring raccoons. So remember, welcome to Ohio. It's been fun. I'm tired, man. I've been up since 4 a.m. Taz, take us out.
Which is actually 3 a.m., you know.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. Man, we love all y'all. Support cystic fibrosis. Be kind to one another. Love one another. We out of here. Peace.
Peace.
And that's it for this week. To learn more about Wolf and Sheep's clothing, check out the links in the show notes. And while you're down there, make sure to click the links to our socials, come on by, and say hi. As always, if you enjoyed this episode, make sure to give it a thumbs up wherever you're listening from. And until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.